or go to curtainfm.com.au. Curtain
Radio. Finding a cure for superbugs has always been a challenge for pharmaceutical companies, and as a result, the public is still dealing with sometimes extreme health issues. Well, it seems that the situation could worsen. The drug companies look like giving up on a superbug cure. Joining us to explain why this could be happening, or it has been happening, is Ramiz Boulos, who is the CEO of Boulos Cooper Pharmaceuticals. Very good afternoon to you, Ramiz. Thank you for joining us.
Very good afternoon to you, Jenny.
You know, the situation with antibiotics, we've been warned by health professionals for many, many years now that overuse was always going to be a problem. Has that this got anything to do with the decision by the pharmaceutical companies that it's just not worth it, or?
Well, there are a number of reasons why big pharmaceutical companies have moved from the field. In the 40s to the 60s, they called that the antibiotic golden era, where it was so easy to discover new antibiotics by looking at soil samples and extracting bacteria from the soil, because that's how antibiotics come about. Bacteria produce antibiotics that fight and kill other bacteria, and that's how they survive. And up to the 60s, they almost mined, they almost mined these sources to extinction. So that made it really hard to discover new antibiotics. But also, the issue with resistance emergence made it not a very much worthwhile investment. Sometimes companies would see resistance emergence towards their antibiotics even before the antibiotic gets to the market, so during their clinical trials.
So they've got a lifespan, have they?
Not necessarily, but a lot of the antibiotics currently on the market are more of the same. So they're looking at old antibiotics and changing them slightly. And bacteria mutate very quickly and reproduce very quickly. And once they develop resistance to an antibiotic belonging to a class, they can develop resistance to any antibiotic that then belongs to that class. So it kind of is a situation that gets worse. So that's the second reason. The third reason is due to the intellectual property rights. As I said in the past, pharmaceutical companies could extract antibiotics from natural sources and get patents for them. About 5 to 10 years ago, the patent laws have changed in the U.S. And the U.S., of course, is the biggest pharmaceutical market, accounting for over 50% of the revenues in the sector, and by not allowing or granting patents for drugs that come from natural sources, what this has meant is that it made a bad problem even worse. So a lot of companies have left the field, but the biggest driver is, of course, profit. Companies, they like any businesses, pharmaceutical companies want to have a return for their investment, for their shareholders. And antibiotics is, they're drugs that you only have when you have an infection. So it could be a matter of days or a week or so on. And when you compare that to other drugs like high blood pressure medication, anti-cancer medication, and so on, the profits are really dwarfed. And so a lot of companies have found that it's not worse for them. And they've left the field, leaving us with a massive void.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that with antibiotics, because it's not a repeat prescription necessarily, like high blood pressure medications and, like you say, anti-cancer drugs. They're ongoing, so the pharmaceutical companies are benefiting from those sales. So,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, this is a very dangerous situation, surely, because superbugs keep coming up out of the blue, different ones all the time. And where are we going to end up with this? Do you think most of the companies will pull out?
Well, just last week, one of the big 10 pharmaceutical companies, Novartis, has left the field. So it's leaving us in a really very dangerous situation where most of the research and development is done by small companies like ourselves. And eventually bigger companies acquire these companies and add their
thinking
drugs to their pipelines. However, the situation is currently antibiotic resistance kills 700,000 people a year.
Goodness.
This is predicted to grow to 10 million people a year by 2050.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and that would mean that it's the number one and the main disease killer. It will overtake cancer. However, you look at what's currently in development, antibiotics in development, worldwide, there are less than 50, a lot of them belonging to old antibiotics. And you look at what's at the anti-cancers in development, there is over 800 drugs. So completely disproportional to the scenario at hand.
But the prospect of 700 million people or whatever that you mentioned is absolutely devastating. I mean, some governments, have actually said that they're going to be taking it into their own hands and funding the development of new antibiotics to fight superbugs. Can we manufacture antibiotics?
Absolutely. So this is a very important point. Is of course, it costs the taxpayers quite a lot of money by having increased hospital stays and so forth. So the governments are realizing if they invest ahead into developing new antibiotics, that will potentially save them billions of dollars down the road. So I think definitely there is a way forward here. We need governments to be more supportive. And in Australia, for example, we are in a deep problem because we do not manufacture any antibiotics. If, for instance, we end up going to war, we do not have anything in our arsenal. So we're looking at going back to the pre-antibiotic era where soldiers with a slight wound infection would end up dying.
The antibiotic, of course, being introduced was just the most miracle thing, or everyone's considered it to be so.
It is, absolutely. Since antibiotics came, at our average lifespan has almost doubled. Mm. And without antibiotics, we could see our lifespan decreasing and going back to those times. So essentially, without antibiotics, this would put an end to modern medicine as we know it. So people would not be able to have surgery anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Of course, once you open someone up, then that's a site of entry for bacteria, and we're covered with bacteria all over our skin. It's everywhere. Mm. So without nothing to keep these bacteria from growing, things would get very, very bad. And people with compromised immune system, for example, people who are having cancer therapy or who have AIDS, all these immunocompromised people are at a higher risk of getting infection.
It just seems absolutely amazing that governments, I know it costs some money to take on the project, would even consider to letting this happen. It puts us back into the dark ages. I've had a caller ring through to put a question to you, wanting to know, what other ways do you think they could start to treat all serious infections, staph infections and so on? Or is it what you just said a minute ago? They wouldn't be able to.
Well, currently, really, there are situations of people going to hospitals and they can be rescued because they try every single antibiotic and nothing works. So this is becoming more of a more common occurrence. People end up going to hospital, getting like a knee replacement or the such, and they come out with an infection. A few days later, they end up going back to hospital. So there is really a very serious need to develop new antibiotics.
So is there anything being done for the future, Ramiz? We'd love to hear something positive, to think that, you know, maybe people are working hard on it. And, you know, here in Australia, well, anywhere in the world, it's so important.
Well, there are companies worldwide, small companies, as I said, like ours, that are doing fundamental research, and we're the ones driving the sector. But developing a drug is a long process. It's also costly. So there is a need for a capital investment to take these things forward. Saying that, though, our company currently is the only Australian company developing a new class of antibiotics, one that has shown significant promise in killing any superbug, and belonging to an entirely new class has a lot of fundamental and important competitive advantages. So we're currently moving ahead with our development, and within a year to 2 years from getting to human trials.
Have you approached our government to help you along the way here? Are they aware of this situation?
So governments worldwide are certainly aware. We have recently started making contact with government and looking at some funding opportunities there. It's something that we're still exploring.
Goodness me. Well, we certainly give you all the support if needed. I mean, not that we can do a great deal, I guess, but if the public start to talk about this more and speak to people, can, you know, they can make a difference and make a change. It's wonderful that your group are actually doing something about this, Ramiz. I can't imagine that the people around the world just wipe their hands and say, well, I can't do anything more about it. That's it.
Yeah, it's also the scientific bottleneck problem. As I said, it's really challenging to discover new antibiotics. So there has been companies that have spent billions of dollars over a decade or more to develop an antibiotic and failed. It's just also there is that aspect to it. So you're really fighting against a number of odds to develop a new antibiotic. And I think when we find something that works and is promising, we should really try and back it as much as we can.
Oh, most definitely. Well, it's been very enlightening to speak to you about this, Ramiz. A little bit sad to think that would even consider it would go ahead and be this way. But people like yourselves are doing something about it. And thank you very much indeed for explaining it to us.
Very much appreciate your time, Jen.
Thank you. Ramiz Boulos, CEO at Boulos & Cooper. Scary situation.